The following is a recording of a live questions and answers session with Chris McCann that took place on Friday, December 2nd, 2016.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a pre-recorded eBible Fellowship's questions and answers time. This program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this pre-recorded questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann.
Welcome to eBible Fellowship's Friday night question and answer program. Please, go ahead with your question.
I want to ask you something. Were you teaching on family radio? Weren't you an Echoes teacher before 2011?
Yes, Family Radio used a lot of the Bible teachers at the Delco Fellowship, and they routinely had several teachers from that fellowship on Family Radio. And after May 21, 2011, after Mr. Camping had his stroke, I was also asked to teach the Family Radio Bible study that Mr. Camping used to do in the morning and rebroadcast in the evening from July up until October of 2011. But after that, Family Radio decided to go a different way.
And I know that. See, my husband didn't believe me because I said, Chris was teaching before 2011 on Echoes. And he was like, no, he was. I said, oh, yes, he was. So I won.
Well, all right. You won that one. Yeah, we go back probably as far as 2001 when we first were on Family Radio Conference Echoes.
Yeah, because I had numerous studies we were listening to back from 2009 and stuff that were on your website. I had like pages and pages of them because I used to tape them and then listen to them. So
well. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and letting us know that we can be heard. That's an important step here. I appreciate your letting me know that.
We appreciate you, Chris. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, Chris. I just want to clarify for some people, since we weren't able to do some previous setup for the phone conference, that if they're listening on the old conference, they should hang up and dial the number for the new conference, which is area code 701-801-9989. And I will be playing an announcement, you know, in various times in the broadcast, and it's scheduled at various times with the new number. Maybe what I'll do is make another statement, because I know people have been asking about the audio files and the website and so on, and due to two machine failures, both the primary and then another one I use, it's really seriously hampered the ability to publish files. I did order a new machine for broadcasting, because I'm using my backup one, which is only partially configured because it has a new drive. So, and I've received the new broadcast machine and setting it up. So, Lord willing, in a few days, I'll have enough on the machine that I can start publishing files again.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. We have someone with a question, so let's go to next person. Welcome to our question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, Chris. Should we delete the old numbers and just use the number that begins with the 7? I don't have it listed on my phone here, but what's the new number?
The new number is 701-801-9989, and again, no access code is required to enter. Just dial in and listen. This number replaces the 641 number used until now for listening and asking questions during Q&A. So to ease transition to the new system, announcements will be played in the old phone conference for a period of time to let people know of the change. The website will soon be updated with this information. All right, if anyone has another question about this new system or a Bible question that you're interested in, please just hit star 6 and you can enter into the queue and we'll be glad to take your question. Now, I would like to, in the meantime, just mention something, a note that was sent on Facebook today, since we don't have anyone in the queue right now. And the note is titled, New Information, Time Pass, Modified with Ending of 45 or 46. Now, I'll explain what this is saying. We've known for some time that God modifies time pass by 2,300 days, 6 years, or by 23 years. The fullness of a number is reached, and then 6 years or 23 years are added on before the major event takes place. The flood, occurring 6,023 years from creation, is one example of this. Also, Jesus' birth, occurring 11,006 years from creation, is another. Recently, I've noticed that there appears to be another modifying number, the number 45 or 46, also is used by God to modify a number once it's reached its fullness, and here are a few examples. 2,945 years from creation brings us to the end of Mahalalel's period and the year Jared was born. That's 11,013 B.C. to 8,068 B.C., and that's a total of 2,945 years. So the fullness of 2,900 was reached, and then 45 years. And then 8,846 years from creation, we have the birth of Abram to Terah. Terah was age 130, and that would be 11,013 B.C. to Abram to Terah. Terah was age 130. But let me just continue reading here, and I'll just say the dates without reading the whole thing. 8,945 years from creation. Again, we're looking at the N number, 45 or 46. It's the circumcision of Abraham in the year 2068 B.C. 8,946 years from creation. It's the birth of Isaac in 2067 B.C. 10,046 years from creation, the foundation of the temple was laid in 967 B.C. 11,045 actual years and 11,046 calendar years from creation. It's 33 A.D. and Christ goes to the cross. And then 13,045 actual years, 13,046 calendar years from creation to the year 2033 A.D. So we see that there are seven, if we include the 2033 time path, there are seven time paths that are from creation that are modified by either 45 or 46 years. And that's significant. That's something we have not noticed before. We've noticed it with creation to the cross, but we haven't noticed that there is a series of time paths that are modified in the same way. So that adds biblical evidence. It's something new information, that, again, would add support to the idea of 2033. Okay, let's go to the person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
I was going to ask about if you had given any more thought to the 45 days extra when you go from 1290 to 1335. I know there was a problem with that before, but I was just wondering if there was any more thought given to that.
Well, it is something we've seen with Mr. Camping's working out the period of Jesus' ministry, where it goes exactly 1,335 days. And what you're referring to is in Daniel 12, God first mentions 1,290 days, and then in the next verse or a couple of verses later, but he says, blessed are they that wait and come to 1,335 days, and 1,335 is 45 days more than 1290. And so it is interesting that we're seeing time pass, and I just listed seven that have a modifier of 45 or 46. And again, that would be similar to 39 and 40. It can be inclusive or calendar years. And so since from creation to the cross is either 45 or 46 or some other dates, it seems to be equivalent. And so now we're seeing time pass modified by 45 and 46, and that does make us wonder about that 45-day difference from 1290 to 1335. And you're referring to the time path that Mr. Camping established in his writings that begins with the setting up of the abomination of desolation historically, or in the historical type, when Jacob and his family entered into Egypt in 1877 BC, and then 1290 years later, it lands on 587 BC, another historical time that falls right in the midst of a tribulation, the 70-year tribulation, where 1877 fell in the midst of the 7-year famine or tribulation in the days of Joseph. And then Mr. Camping pointed out from 1877 until Israel came out of Egypt was 430 years. 1290 is 3 times 430. You can clearly see the one-third, two-third relationship. 430, Israel comes out of Egypt, then double 430, and it falls on 587. So then, all right, Mr. Camping said you have 1290. Well, what if you double 1290? And that would be 3 times 1290, or 2 more additional times plus that one, and you get 3870 years. And it falls on the year 1994. Now, if the 1290 tripled, 3,870 years from 1877, fell on the year 1988, then I think we would say we have a clear solution to the 1335, because from 1988 until 2033 is 45. Actual years, 46 calendar years. And we could see then the time path, this additional 45 days. But it did not fall in 1988. It fell in 1994. And 94 until 2033 is 39 actual years, 40 calendar years. Now that time path agrees or matches what we read with the book of Jonah, yet 40 days. And so we actually can say that that's very strong evidence for a time path for the end of the world, a time path that leads us from a point of deliverance, and then the Feast of Tabernacles is spiritually observed, to a possible end of the world. just as the 40 days, there was a declaration to Nineveh. Then Jonah went out and dwelt in a booth until the 40 days expired. So we can see that, but it doesn't fit for the 1335, because that would bring us 5 years further than 2033 from 1994, or 6 years. And so it's something that we have to continue to keep praying about and looking into. But right now, I don't see where that 1335 can be utilized except in the 1335 actual days of the ministry of Christ. But thank you for calling and sharing your thoughts. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
My question is in the book of Daniel. I don't have a verse. I just want to know, historically, why a king like King Nebuchadnezzar is running a kingdom, right? And he would rely on people like who are magicians or sorcerers or enchanters. And, like, if you're a king, you might have to face some serious problems. It might be an enemy or war. Why would they rely on, like, a magician, like somebody who pulls a rabbit out of a hat? Why would they rely on, like, such silly people, these kings?
Well, it is silly, but we have to remember that the world always wants to set up some program that can compete with the true gospel, that can compete with God and compete with the things of God. Remember in Egypt with Pharaoh, when God sent Moses to the Egyptians, well, God sent him with the staff and he threw it down and it turned into a snake the Egyptians, they know all about that, and the Egyptian magicians, sorcerers, threw their rods down, and they turned into snakes. Of course, Moses' rod swallowed up their rod, but still, this is the area, you know, magic touches upon the area, or at least gives the appearance of supernatural activity. It's something that if done by expert magicians, can really give an appearance that the gods are with you or working with you. And so they were able actually to mimic the first couple of things that God had Moses to do. And this hardened Pharaoh's heart, where he refused to listen. He refused to pay any attention to Moses and the things that the true God was saying. And that's why the world gets involved in crystal balls, in Ouija boards, and magic acts or tricks. Deep down, they know there is a supernatural spiritual God who's a supernatural power and has the ability to do things in the supernatural realm. All people know there's a God deep down and therefore know that. And yet they don't want to acknowledge that. Yet there's still a curiosity, still an interest in people for spiritual things, for things that are supernatural. And it's really evidence that mankind recognizes there's another realm of existence, that there is a spiritual realm as well as a physical realm, even though they deny it often and denounce any spiritual possibilities. Yet deep down people know it, and so they want to experiment and experience something spiritual, but of course they want nothing to do with the true spirit who is God and you know, the right and proper spiritual encounter, which can be experienced or could have been by people if they had become saved through the Bible. It's interesting that as we read the Bible, as we read words that are ink on paper, bound in a volume, very physical, very material, yet the Bible insists it's spiritual. Compare spiritual with spiritual. The law is spiritual, we read in Romans. And so as we read these words, somehow there's an ability that God has placed in His holy word that is able to make that transition from the physical to the spiritual realm. And so it's able to comfort us in our souls and nourish us in our souls and to accomplish spiritual things within the child of God, as well as develop faith in us. And faith is the ability to perceive and understand and spiritually see spiritual things, the spiritual kingdom of God. And the Bible accomplishes that in the lives of God's true people. But thank you for sharing your question. And let's go to our last caller tonight. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for going through that again. I can't remember if we talked about this, but Jacob was 130 years old, right, when it was 1877 B.C., is that right?
Yes.
Did we discuss that? Because I'm wondering, you know, the 130 years ties in with 13,000 years.
Yeah.
And 1877 ties in with 1994.
Yeah, but
so is there a bridge there?
But the thing is that 587, 1988 is the 13,000th year of Earth's history, the beginning of the Great Tribulation. But the dates involved with 1290, 1877, is the second year or after 2 years of the famine or the Great Tribulation of that time. There's 5 years more to go. So the famine started in 1879. 1877 was in the midst of the seven-year famine. Then 1,290 years later, 587 is in the midst of the 70-year period of tribulation that typifies the Great Tribulation, because that 70-year period began in 609. So 587 is in the midst, 1877 is in the midst. And then when you triple it from 1877 and you go 3,870 years, it falls on 1994, which is in the midst of the 23-year tribulation that began in 1988. So that matches that each one of these points is within, not the start, not the beginning, but within the midst of the overall famine of Joseph's day, the overall 70-year period, and the overall actual 23-year Great Tribulation. Now, Jacob was 130 in 1877, and Pharaoh asked him, "How old art thou?" And he said, "My days have been few and evil." And he said, "I'm 130 years old." And that was to identify with the end of the world and the Great Tribulation that began in 1988. But we have to be careful, because we have to keep in mind that how could Jacob say any age that would identify with 1994, which was the 13,006th year from creation? You know, could he say to Pharaoh, "Well, I'm 130 years and 6 months old, But even there, we may not identify that with 13,006 years. So, you know, we have to keep in mind that in some cases, there has to be a general statement, a general time period made in order to identify with the end and identify with the Great Tribulation, which 130 does as it relates to 13,000. You can't give any other year to go 13,006. If Jacob said, I'm 129, that doesn't identify with anything. If he says, I'm 131, that doesn't identify with anything. There's no way he could give his age and identify with such a precise time like 13,006. You can only go to a fullness of a number, just like with the 13 times around Jericho, and then the walls fall down. It identifies with a very important, significant time period that starts the end of the world. And with things like someone's death age, like Jehoiada the priest, you just can't get more specific than that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I was just thinking that Daniel 12 is trying to tell us something more about the end. But if it's there, God has to open our eyes to it. Thanks, Chris.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing, and I would like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Now, again, please make a note of this number. This is how, Lord willing, Sunday afternoon, when we try to have our question and answer program at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you'll call 701-801-9989, and that will, again, give you the ability to join the conference, and then you can hear. And if at that point anyone wants to ask a question, hit star six, and then as Bob has been doing, he's listening on his phone, he hits star six, and I see him. Then at that point he goes into a queue. I see actually his name and number. Some people come up as anonymous or just their phone number. So it's that might change. But anyone who hits star six is then visible to the host, myself. And then I can click on a button that gives the microphone to him, and then he can ask his question or make his comment. Now, Lord willing, in the future, we'll also make available the FCC app. It will make this information so you can download the app and also go to the website, and then you'll be able to see the queue itself, and you'll be able to see the conference itself. And when you see the conference, you can see everyone else who's in it, and you also would have that option to select Q&A. Rather than hit star six in order to ask your question. But I hope that I've been coming through clearly. I know all the people who ask questions, I could hear very well. So I hope it's also going through the other way clearly. And if so, then this is encouraging that we'll be able to use this. But we have come to the end of our time tonight. Thank you all for joining us. Please join us again Sunday afternoon, Lord willing, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another question and answer program. But for now, I'll say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
And thank you for joining us again for eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers Time with your speaker, Chris McCann. You can join us for these questions and answers sessions Sunday afternoons following the Sunday studies and certain weeknights following the Monday through Friday studies. Check eBibleFellowship.com for the current schedule. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.